Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It is great to have you with us on this July 28th. We'll get through the 29th tomorrow, then the next time we'll talk to you will be in August. Everything's flying by, isn't it? Changes to the college football playoff. In terms of dates announced today. And we're going to have a couple of really great guests on today as well, which we're looking forward to having. What Adam Amin's on today, correct?
You betcha, at 4:06.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Up and coming announcer at ESPN. He's going to move up the depth chart with all the other people leaving the network these days.
Well, he deserves to move up because he's a very talented guy. Very talented. But we're not done there. How about Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com on today? How about Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle on today? I think we did pretty well.
I just got a text from upper management. We have to stop mailing it in all the time.
Yes, well, I'll take that as a challenge.
Right. I'm right there with you.
So that's what we have coming up. He is, I think he's really good. Adam is. And great to talk to. Adam Amin is very talented, no ego guy. None. Very humble. Feels very fortunate to be where he is. And those are the kind of people you like talking to. I can, you know, I always talk about the no ego people. And then people say to me, well, who does? And I don't want to get into it. I don't think that part's not fair. But if I think they're a no-ego person, I will mention that right away, that I think they're a no-ego person.
Yeah, depending on his travels and schedule, he'd be perfect for the sports journalism class for your students.
Yes, he would be.
Absolutely.
He'd be outstanding to have talked to them. Yeah, it's interesting. I remember Mike Breen talked to them one time. And Mike came in with Jim O'Connell. And Ock's a great guy. I always have liked him a lot. And Mike Breen is about as likable a person as you've ever run into in your life. And he was great with the students. Great with them. So, yeah, Adam would be really good. Especially, you know, a young guy like that who can relate to them. It's me opening my briefcase, by the way. Young guy can relate to them. You know, his broadcast partner was for basketball this year, don't you? Craig Robinson, Michelle Obama's brother. Former head coach at Oregon State.
Yeah, he did quite a few Big Ten games on ESPN2 last fall.
Yeah, he did, but he also had to do some games last year from Charlotte. And I am going to ask him about that. Because I think that is something where it's not a case of, I don't want him to complain about it, but I want to have him talk about the challenge of it, of not being on the site. You still have to do the game. You have to do it in such a way where people think you were there. And I want to ask him about the challenge of that. And it is a challenge. No getting around it. It is a challenge. So we'll talk to him about that as well. College football playoffs going to have some changes to it on dates. But the irony is that even though they give you the schedule for the next 10 college football playoffs, but they're actually, when it's all said and done, there are only four changes to it. There are only four date changes. What they want to do is they want to have as many Saturdays as possible and stay away from the New Year's Eve thing. But New Year's Eve, you know, unless New Year's Eve is a Saturday, then they want that. Here are the changes that they are making to the college football playoff. Now, this year stays the same, and nothing is different the year after, because the year after is the Rose Bowl Sugar Bowl year. So since the Rose Bowl Sugar Bowl year, it's no big deal. They're not going to change that. It's what happens afterward where all the changes do take place. So this year, it's still New Year's Eve. And it's going to be the Peach Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl this year leading the way. And then next year, it's the Rose and the Sugar Bowl, but that's going to be on January 1st. So that's not an issue. The first change, and it'll be back-to-back years where it changes, on 2018 and 2019. And the dates become dramatically different. Saturday, December 29th, 2018. And then the year after, I think it's going to be December 28th.
Yes, Saturday, December 28th, 2019. Yep. And the two semifinal games will be the Peach Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl.
Right. And then, so it goes like this. 2016, no change. Fiesta Peach on Saturday the 31st. 17 on the 1st, Rose and Sugar. That's standard. That's what, you know, that the first year, that's where it was, and the ratings were off the charts. In 18, it's the Cotton and the Orange Bowls, but that's going to be on Saturday, December 29th. In 19, it's going to be Saturday, December 28th with the Fiesta and Peach Bowls. Then 2020, back to January 1st because it's the Rose and Sugar. Then in 21, because New Year's Day is a Saturday, the 31st is a federal holiday. So Friday the 31st in 2021 is when they'll play. It'll be the orange and one to be determined. 22nd will be Saturday the 31st, bowls to be determined. Monday the 1st, the Rose and Sugar will be January 1st, 23. For the 23 season. In 24, they'll change, moving back to December 28th. Orange Bowl and one to be determined. And in 25, it's December 27th. With, I mean, 2 days after Christmas, bowls to be determined in 25. Now, you're asking, why bowls to be determined? Because the Fiesta and Peach Bowls, their contracts run out with the New Year's Six deal following 2020. So they're going to have to be renewed. The Fiesta Peach and Cotton Bowls, those three. So they'll have to be renewed after that. That's why it's to be determined on bowls. The Sugar Bowl, the way I understand it, is also one that got locked into getting the New Year's night slot. They, out of tradition, got locked into it. Okay. So that's why my idea, brilliant as it was, I might add, it was brilliant.
It was.
Of sandwiching the games around the Rose Bowl can't be done. That's where them having a lot more knowledge than me pays off. Oh. But this is at least a better idea.
Well, that's a win for the fans, no doubt about that.
I think so. The TV ratings are... Last year was played in the 31st. Now, let's not discount the fact that the nightcap between Alabama and Michigan State ended up being a lousy game. In fact, it was a lousy game by halftime. And I don't think that helped. And I'm not going to discount that completely. The first year, you had exactly what you wanted. You have the Rose Bowl, Florida State, Oregon, head-to-head. Oregon didn't pull away until the latter stages of the second half. And then you had Ohio State and Alabama. It was a great game in the Sugar Bowl. So you had people locked in. Well, this year, the nightcap was Alabama and Michigan State. And Alabama showed up. Michigan State didn't. And that does play a role in it. Now, what if one of these New Year's Eve games goes to overtime? And it's 11:59:30 on the East Coast. What do you do? I mean, what do you do? Well, there's usually 30 seconds between plays. Hey, 15 seconds for the ball drops. Boom, kick over. Hey, Happy New Year. Click back.
Well, it is an ESPN game, and since it's on ABC, they could probably do the split screen. Or maybe not.
Sure.
Picture in picture.
No, I'm just going to flip over, flip back, we're done. Okay. Not only that, but you can, you know, if the game goes later, you know, let's take the 31st out of it. You know, because they're going to play it on Saturday, people can stay up late and watch it anyway. So we'll see how this works. I think it's better than what they had planned. As I said, you can't really just force this down the public's throat. There have been too many things where I've seen television or an entity, in this case, the college football playoff being the entity, have tried to, and now television didn't. The ESPN balked at this. So let's take television out of it. But over the years, television and entities have tried to force something down your throat. You know, a sport, a program, something. And people are not buying. And this was one of those things where, from the get-go, a lot of people said, I'm not so sure they're going to buy this. And they didn't. Now, this year will be New Year's Eve, but it's a Saturday. So this will give them, I think, a good read as to whether they're on the right track with this thing. I think they are. I think it should be all right. Rich Scarsella, Adam Rittenberg, Adam Amin, all on today's show as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Next half hour, we'll talk about the Big Ten Media Days and an overall view of the conference coming up. Adam Amin, he's skyrocketing up the chain at ESPN as a play-by-play announcer. We'll talk with him at 4:06. Final half hour, Rich Scarsella locking in on the Penn State components at Big Ten Media Day. We'll talk with him in the final half hour of the show. So we're looking forward to it. So we have a lot going on today. We're talking about the college football playoff and the changes they've made. Like, I think it's worth giving a shot as to what they're doing. I think at some point we'll see this thing expand from 4 to 8. I don't think that point is going to be anywhere in the next 5 years, but I think it will. And it has all the potential to. And you see, like, a Saturday with 4 of these games in one day. Yeah. That could be the setup we're heading for here. You know that? You think about that, Sean.
All the years and bowls that we talked about, just go to stevejonesshow.com. Got a copy of it, linked to the press release on our homepage. So I liked it. It was interesting how they phrased it. They didn't say we got it wrong. They said we're making it better.
Right. Well, that's the way everything is today. Everything is spin. Okay. Everything is spin these days. You know, you sit down and you try to be a wordsmith to then take whatever. Look, just can you? You can talk plain English to people. You can talk. You can look at them and say, "Look, you know what? We took a long, hard look at this thing. You know, it's obvious what happened with the ratings. We know we have a great product. We think this is the best way to showcase it, where viewership is going to increase." What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? They were stubborn about it, and stubbornness only lasted 1 year. Okay. I think, though, that what the Saturday setup does, this is where I think it's interesting, Sean. What the Saturday setup does is this. It opens the door to expanding it to 8. Take, for example, playing the games on December 28th. Who's to say you can't play the quarterfinals on the 21st? You start playing all these Saturdays. Well, what keeps you from playing consecutive Saturdays to get there? I think it's a slice of food for thought.
Would the people that run some of those earlier bowl games, though, complain that they lose their spotlight?
Well, four of them would be incorporated into doing this. And the other bowl games still have a very important role in all this because, for two reasons. Number one, of course, you want your program to get to a bowl game. It's great to have the extra practice and the extra game. And if you win it, there's even more value to it on top of it. You also want to keep the momentum of the college football season going. If you play the games on Saturday, December 21st, that's a day that has bowl games anyway. So now you shift things around a little bit. You just play the Gilden New Mexico Bowl and the Las Vegas Bowl and so forth. You play them on Monday. You know, believe me, ESPN owns several of these games now, Sean. So this is the bowl season is an absolutely brilliant programming move by ESPN. It gives them signature programming every night during the holiday season. I don't care whether it's Monday Night Football or a college bowl game. They have signature programming every night for 2.5 to 3 weeks. It's pretty good. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, next half hour. Then Adam Amin at 4:06. Rich Scarcella at 4:35. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for this day in sports history. In 1991, Dennis Martinez of the Montreal Expos pitched the 13th perfect game in Major League history. And then in 1994, 3 years to the day, Kenny Rogers of the Texas Rangers pitched the 14th perfect game in Major League history. Major League Baseball was so stunned that Kenny Rogers could throw a perfect game, they canceled the rest of the season 2 weeks later. Just kidding to all the Kenny Rogers fans out there. In 2002, Lance Armstrong won his fourth straight Tour de France. We'll leave it at that. Adam Rittenberg is simply, I think, an outstanding writer and an excellent reporter covering the Big Ten for ESPN.com and joins us. Adam, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Oh, you bet, Steve. Always good to be on with you.
All right. What were your primary takeaways from the two media days?
Well, you know, I mean, I know the Penn State negative recruiting thing bubbled up a little bit, but you know, not a whole lot of major storylines as far as the oil impact the season. I just think it was interesting to see the attention around Michigan, and you know, we've talked so much about Jim Harbaugh in the off season and the signing day extravaganza, satellite camps, having spring practice in Florida. Well, now they're the favorite. I think most people look at them on paper as the favorite going into the season. If not Ohio State, it's Michigan. And so how much does the attention now shift to who they have on their team, how they are going to handle this type of pressure, and the expectations going into, I think, a really pivotal season for Michigan, because Ohio State, at least from a personnel standpoint, is young, because Michigan State's replacing a quarterback. It's been 12 years, Steve, since they won the league. So if not now, when for that Michigan Wolverine team? I think it's a big, big deal for them to meet these expectations.
Yeah, in fact, if I recall correctly, Michigan State's beaten Michigan five of the last six times they've met.
They have, and they're playing up there at East Lansing again, and those games in particular have been absolutely dominating performances by Michigan State. So Michigan has a beneficial start to the season. They play five straight home games. They don't really shouldn't be challenged really out of conference, but they have three very tough road games down the stretch in Iowa, Michigan State, and Ohio State, and they have not played well at all at either Spartan Stadium or Ohio Stadium in recent years.
Jim Harbaugh at times seems either sometimes stilted or uncomfortable in press conference situations, sometimes. Then I watched him on BTN, and he was animated and outgoing on BTN. How was he in the interview sessions?
I just couldn't get very close to him because it was such a mob around him. But it did seem overall that, whether it was the BTN interview, even his podium session, and then I listened to a long interview with him here on one of the radio stations in Chicago yesterday, he is much more comfortable, it seems like, in these settings and really having fun. And he's showing his personality, which is a bit odd, but entertaining. And, he's a different guy. I think he really embraces that and certainly the attention around Michigan maybe a little bit better than he did last year.
Penn State is back up to 81 scholarships. I mean, they could have gotten 85, but they ended up at 81. And they have positional balance, and they're recruiting now. They probably don't. They don't have class balance yet, but they have positional balance. What's your thought on where they are at this point, and what role they can play in this?
Yeah, well, it certainly should help. Having the scholarship numbers up, and just thinking about Penn State and USC, the two teams that were hit pretty hard by NCAA scholarship sanctions. The areas where it's hit them the hardest are the lines, and especially for Penn State, as we know, it's the offensive line. For USC, it's been their defensive line, which has really struggled. And you watch them practice, and that's the one area that just doesn't look like Penn State or doesn't look like USC. So is that going to change this year? That's the group that I'm going to be watching. And with Matt Leingrover taking over now, I respect him as an offensive line coach, what he was able to do at Minnesota. That to me, is everything, because you have a quarterback who I think will in some ways be more suited to what James Franklin wants to do, what Joe Moorhead certainly wants to do coming in with his tempo and some of the athleticism that he'll require from the quarterback position. You have a great running back there in Saquon Barkley. You have some talented wide receivers. So that I think that offense as a whole is going to be the unit to watch. Can they put up points? Because they're going to have to against teams like Ohio State and Michigan, and certainly even Pitt in week two is going to be a real challenge for Penn State.
It's interesting you mentioned the USC defensive line, but a lot of people don't realize the last 3 years, we know Christian Hackenberg was number one in being sacked 103 times, but people don't realize who number two was over the last 3 years. It was Cody Kessler at USC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think it's a coincidence.
No, that's a great point. It just illustrates that that's where it hits you. You can still have wide receivers. You can still have running backs. You can still have talent at the other skill spots, but the lines is where when those scholarship losses come in, heavy numbers, that's where you're just not the same type of team. I think with Kessler, the issue, I guess similar to Hackenberg, he got a lot of heat for holding onto the ball. He did not want to throw interceptions, and some people saw him as a bit of a selfish player, that he would rather get sacked than throw the ball away or throw it into a situation where it could be intercepted. So really good point that you made, and again, underscoring for both of those teams how important the line play and improvement there will be this season.
Jim Delaney's press conference, once he was done with his statement and then got to questions, I felt was newsworthy. One of them is he was asked about the divisions and the way they're set up. And you and I know Mark Rudner and his group they examined 20 seasons worth to get the leaders and legends thing, but then finally after that went through, they went to this. Do you see this playing out as an East-West thing for years to come, or is it something that if it becomes so weighted the next 5 years with the East the way it is now that they may have to consider making a couple of changes?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to monitor it, but I sense a frustration from Jim Delaney being asked about that, and I completely respect that because, as you mentioned, and not many people really embraced this because they got so caught up with the dumb names, there was great research that went into aligning the divisions the first time around, and it was based on competitive balance. And people got so wrapped up with leaders and legends and wanting those changed and maybe some rivalries tweaked here and there that they wanted to go geographic. Well, you got geographic, and this is what you have, which is seemingly a lopsided conference. Now, that's not new to college football. It's been that way in many leagues. The ACC has that going on right now with the Atlantic Division so much stronger than the Coastal. The old Big 12 had that with the South being so much stronger than the North. So I understand Jim's position of not wanting to just, you know, once again cave to the pressure and realign everything, every few years. But, yeah, if it goes on this current trajectory and we're only talking about Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State and maybe Penn State as teams that can win a national championship, that can win a Big Ten championship, you maybe have to consider tweaking the alignment. But I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, as Jim mentioned.
What were your thoughts on the change today in the college football playoff schedule, where Saturday will become, in certain years, the time to play the games?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I know they tried and it didn't work. It was, and we all thought it was not going to work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, the commissioners know a lot of things, but sometimes you got to listen to the people on the TV side that know that know how ratings work, and trying to create a new date on the calendar that just historically has never worked out well for ratings. It didn't work, and now you have a system where everybody can see the games. Either they're on Saturday really whenever, or they're just at times where the viewing audience can be maximized. So a very smart decision. It took them a little while, but glad to see those changes in the future for college football playoffs.
I had discussed on the show taking the two games when the Rose Bowl isn't involved in sandwiching them around the Rose Bowl. But the one thing I wasn't sure of is whether the Sugar Bowl was locked in contractually to being the New Year's Night game. Are they locked in? Is that why they can't do that?
Yeah, so Rose and Sugar are the two that aren't really flexible. Okay. And so that's why, you have that. And I understand the desire to protect the Rose Bowl and its exclusive window, but, as coaches will tell you, it's all about the playoff now, and that's where the focus is, and I think where the focus should be in the coming years.
Something you've done extensive work on and have kept your ear to the ground on the entire time, Adam, was the television contract situation. Eventually, they'll release all the term. They won't release the money on it, but I think everybody gets a feel for it. In the end, 6 years with Fox, ESPN, keeping CBS in the mix for basketball to go with BTN. Did Jim essentially maximize what the Big Ten could get?
He always does, and I know he was focused on it for a long time, and I think when that does get announced, everybody will be pleased. And I think it's smart not to do such a long deal because the environment is changing so dramatically. Seems like month to month and certainly year to year. So what will it look like in 6 years? Who knows? And what will conference alignments look like in 6 years? Will there be some vulnerability, some movement among conferences then? That's all. Those are all unknown. So I think the length of the deal is really smart, and the partners keeping everybody that's currently in the loop is also a smart decision.
Fox means a lot more money. There's no question about that. How interested are you going to be to see how it plays out in terms of viewership on Fox and what it, because FS1 in particular needs to have some sort of a signature program?
Sure. No, and there's some very attractive properties that the Big Ten can offer. Certainly Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Nebraska have large national type audiences. So having that type of programming, you've seen what it's done for the Big Ten Network, and certainly it will help Fox. I think Fox has done a great job with their with their production and you know, being a bigger player in the market. And then, you know, obviously, I'm obviously glad that ESPN is also still involved with the Big Ten. It's been a long-term partnership, and glad to see that it will continue in some form.
Yeah, and I know the basketball coaches wanted very much so to keep the ESPN component. They were vocal about it early in the process. I think the tip-off to me that ESPN was still going to be involved heavily was that when they had the Big Ten coaches meetings, none of the coaches talked about it. So they're like,
right,
okay,
right.
Jim must have told them, look, we're okay, just settle down. All right. Surprise teams this year. You feel Minnesota's a team to take a long, hard look at if they get off to a good start. Why?
Yeah, you know, I think with them, their schedule is a little bit more favorable. The last couple of years, their crossovers, I believe they had both Ohio State and Michigan, or Ohio State and Michigan State, some sort of combination. This year, you know, they're playing the, you know, the quote-unquote weaker teams in the East Division. So that should help them with their win total. And then in the West, I think it's so wide open. I believe they get Iowa at home. And, you know, Wisconsin is playing a very, very tough schedule, the toughest one that I can remember. Maybe you can remember a tougher one, but I certainly can't. And then, you know, I think Mike Riley's Nebraska team is an interesting one to watch in year two, but you know, they had a lot of issues last year, especially on defense. Northwestern's a solid team, but they have a lot of issues on offense and a tougher schedule than they played last year. So, you know, there's a chance for Minnesota. They wouldn't have a chance in the East, but they have a chance in the West.
Right.
And they have a solid defense. And if they can get a little bit more out of Mitch Leidner at quarterback, maybe they can be a factor in that division.
Yeah, he's coming off that left foot injury. And also the one thing is that he has to be more accurate when he throws the ball. Ohio State and Michigan State, how interesting is the year for them, because we know obviously what Urban's done in Ohio State, but they lose a lot. Now they have to reload it. And then, of course, same thing with Michigan State, except they don't have the staying power Ohio State's had over the years. How big a test is it to show the strength of the programs in transition years?
Yeah, it's a really big test for different reasons. I think for Ohio State, you're going to have these young, highly recruited, highly talented players in big roles, much like they were in 2014. And I also think the big plus for Ohio State is that they have a tremendous leader in JT Barrett.
Yes.
I mean, you hear about his leadership behind the scenes, not the most, you know, vocal guy with us, but is just a guy who knows everything on the field, but also the intangibles that he brings. And there's going to be no controversy as to who the quarterback is. So if he can stay healthy, I really think Ohio State has a great chance to once again win the conference. For Michigan State, it's the question of how much has their improved recruiting helped them in a year where they do lose quite a lot, especially, you know, a transcendent record-setting type quarterback in Connor Cook. But I think they're going to be, you know, somewhat like that team, if you remember, Steve, in 2008, which, you know, really rode Javon Ringer to I think 9 or 10 wins. They're going to be much more of the run-heavy offense, and then relying on their defensive front seven. Their defensive front seven could be better than last year's, especially with Malik McDowell leading the way. I think he's the best defensive player in the Big Ten and certainly projects as the best defensive player to the next level. So if he stays healthy, they're very deep at linebacker. The no-fly zone is a somewhat fly zone these days in the secondary, but they're so good up in the front seven that it may not matter. So, you know, quarterback will be worth watching, but I think Tyler O'Connor will be more of a game manager, guy who limits mistakes, and then certainly riding LJ Scott and the other backs that they have. They're very deep at running back. That's going to be their formula. So is that recruiting success that they've had, which is obvious if people overlook, combined with the stability in the coaching staff and this, you know, somewhat changed identity to be more of a running offense, is that going to be enough to put them in the mix in the East?
And McDowell was an easy vote for me for one of the five guys in the East. I agree with you. I think
he is an
absolutely outstanding player. I also sense that they're going to be the type of team that when the season's over with, you and I may be looking at numbers, seeing maybe 33, 34 minutes of possession per game. I think that's the formula for them to win.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think, you know, when you watch Michigan go up there, it's going to be two very similar offenses that will really rely on the run game. And you talk to coaches who faced Michigan last year, and, you know, they all praised Jake Rudock. But the other thing they said is that Michigan got a couple first downs even if they didn't score, your defense is on the field for 5 and 5 minutes or right. 6 minutes. So I think that's going to be two low possession type game. Could come down to special teams again, which may not be good news for Michigan. But the other thing I should say about Michigan State is that they get both Michigan and Ohio State at Spartan Stadium, where they've been terrific right. under Mark D'Antonio. So that's I'm trying to think of the last game they lost there. It's been a while. So definitely worth watching for them this year.
Thanks so much, Adam. Really appreciate the time very much.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Adam Amin, next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
It's hot, but nothing is as hot as the Red Hot Clear the Lot sales event at Sunbury Motors Ford. Now, through the end of July, they have deals as hot as the Central PA sun. Choose from over 240 new Fords that are clearly marked with sale prices that have melted to the lowest levels of the summer. There's nothing hotter than the Ford F-150. SMC has over 125 new Ford trucks covering four city blocks with discounts up to 11 grand and starting at $22,749. Save up to $4,500 on new Ford Fusions that are priced as low as $18,915. And pick from Central PA's largest selection of new Ford Escapes. They start as low as $19,945. But you better hurry before the hot July sun sets on the Red Hawk. Clear the lot! Sales event at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon as we roll through together. A couple days to the weekend. Then Sean's already mentally in weekend mode. And to the credit of the suit, has been there for a year. All right. Did the suit really offer me Pocono tickets?
He did.
At face value.
He didn't get into the price point. I would say very negotiable.
I would hope so. It's not a sellout.
I was thinking the further along the week goes, the number could drop. Could end up with a bargain.
Yeah, I know I could.
All right.
He does know that if I want a press pass, I can go, right?
Absolutely.
Think they would let me in. But that's not what we do. That's not how we do things. I don't go to things just to go. If I don't work, I'm not going. Let's see. Jimmy Walker, 5 under par, 65 PGA Championship. Baseball. I know the Mets are winning 1-0. Right now in their game with the Colorado Rockies in the ninth inning.
Yeah, despite the injuries they've been going through last few weeks, they've been getting some good wins.
Milwaukee leads Arizona 3-2 in the bottom of the sixth. Cardinals in Miami tonight. Baltimore, Minnesota tonight. Phillies are at Atlanta. We'll have it for you at 6:35 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Cubs and White Sox tonight, and Chris Sale does pitch tonight. Kansas City and Arlington against Texas, and the late games out on the coast, the Red Sox and the Angels in Anaheim, and the Giants and the Nationals at AT&T. So there you are. Adam Amin, next half hour from ESPN. Outstanding young announcer. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Adam Amin, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home for the Philadelphia Phillies.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.